Good morning. How are you? Hope all is well. It's coming up for 11 a.m. Sunday morning, October the 8th, 2017. It's a dull, grey, old, misty morning here in South Manchester. I hope I find you well this Sunday. I hope you're in good form and you're enjoying the weekend. This is Sunday View. Nothing like it. Going to have a look at the front pages of the broadsheet and tabloid newspapers here in the UK and flesh out one or two of the stories contained within the tabloids and the broadsheets. As usual, you can participate by tweeting at Richie Allen Show. If there's something you'd like me to comment on your behalf on any of these stories, you need only tweet at Richie Allen Show. Couldn't be simpler. Sunday View then, in association with DavidIke.com. Bookmark DavidIke.com because much of what I talk about today will be covered in depth at DavidIke.com. Brand new website, looking great, so it is. Welcome to the old show.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to DavidIke.com/headlines.
It couldn't be simpler. Email richie@richieallen.co.uk or tweet at Richie Allen Show. This is your Sunday View, live on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester. Tune in, radio and richieallen.co.uk.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com.
Lot to talk about as well today. Lot to talk about. And I'm going to kick off by talking about something which made the news yesterday. You might have seen this. There was a lot of interest in this yesterday afternoon. That was the incident in outside the Natural History Museum in London yesterday. Let's get rid of the old music and we'll talk about that. Before we talk about that, had a lazy day myself yesterday. Didn't do very much. Watched the grand final rugby league, which is very one-sided. Leeds Rhinos. Shouting for Castleford Tigers myself, of course, being an adopted man. Coonian could never cheer for Leeds. But didn't go the way I wanted. And then we watched a film called Wind River, which was made by a man called Taylor Sheridan, who made two films of great note in the last few years. One called Sicario and the other one called Hell or High Water. Two brilliant films. And his latest film, Wind River, starring Elizabeth Olsen and Jeremy Renner, is very, very, very good. Watch it. This guy, Taylor Sheridan, he makes films worth watching. Non-commercial garbage. None of this superhero garbage that is thrown at you every week, it seems, but a really good character study. Great film about a murder and a rape in a very austere place in the mountains where it snows all the time and blizzards. Wonderful stuff, set on an Indian reservation, in fact, and I recommend it highly. The future Mrs. Allen and I really enjoyed it. If I'm giving you a bit of a film recommendation, which I am, so if you fancy a good film, it's in cinemas right now, Wind River. So I mentioned the news channels went into overdrive yesterday, didn't they? Alert, 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 possible terrorism, driver mounts pavement, and, you know, spend a lot of time bad-mouthing or attacking the mainstream media on this programme, but you can't help it because the bloodlust yesterday was pretty sickening. Their eyes just light up when something happens like this. I got several alerts on my phone because obviously we subscribe to a number of different news bureaus. So all these alerts were coming in about a driver driving into people. And I thought, Jesus, not again. Your heart sinks, doesn't it? It should do. And you think, well, you know, what's going on? And what happened, of course? Well, when I say of course, we're told now that what happened is that 11 people were injured after a crash at the Natural History Museum in London. And as I speak with you today, Sunday morning UK time, the police are asking for witnesses to it. It seems that a black Toyota Prius, hit people outside the museum, which is in Kensington, around about 2:20 yesterday, and it was immediately reported that it was a terror attack. Now it was. This is how the media operates. Doesn't know anything about anything, but it calls it a terror attack. The police said it wasn't terror related, And it's basically a road traffic collision. They arrested a man in his 40s on suspicion of dangerous driving. And thankfully, thanks be to Jesus, none of the injuries are life-threatening. It just looks like some bad driving led to a collision. And some people were injured. Thankfully, non-life-threatening. Good, right? But of course, as soon as I got the alert on my phone, I switched over to Sky News. The excitement was palpable. It is when you see these things, isn't it? Palpable. There was a young woman doing the Saturday shift, not one of the marquee anchors, right? Doing the Saturday shift. She's being trained in, presumably. Or she's on weekend duty. She must have thought, this is it. And she did think, this is it. This is my big break. She was positively breathless. And then, of course, she was utterly deflated because it was just an accident and nobody's dead. Shoot. Now, honestly, she didn't say any of that. She didn't say, oh, no, can't believe nobody's dead. But she didn't have to. It was written all over her face. This is your mainstream media. 6 minutes, by the way, past 11, Sunday morning, the 8th of October, 2017. How are you? You all right? You in good form? I see a few tweets coming in. We'll get to those presently. Let's go straight to the front pages of the Sunday newspapers then. There are two main stories on the front page of the Sunday Times. Headline one is Cartoons Lure Kids to Gambling. Headline two, May Plots to Demote Boris in Reshuffle. So the Theresa May stories about her tenuous grip on the job of Prime Minister and the plots to undermine her. We've heard too much of this over the last few days. You know my take on it. It's just my take. It's a big soap opera to disguise the fact that it's all about destroying Brexit and keeping the United Kingdom in the European Union. Right? Because I don't believe any of these people want the UK to leave the EU. None of them. Even the ones whom you think do want to leave the EU. They're all puppets. We'll come back to a little bit of that later. But the other story is hugely interesting to us on the Sunday Times. Let me read a bit of it for you. Just before I do, the headline again, Cartoons Lure Kids to Gambling. Front page, Sunday Times. Here's the story. Some of Britain's biggest gambling operators are targeting children with their favourite cartoon and storybook characters in online betting games. An investigation by the Sunday Times reveals today. Operators are exploiting a loophole in the rules that allows them to promote games that appeal to children without breaching Gambling Commission rules. Stakes on the games range from one penny to £600. The games, many of which can be played for free, without registration or any age verification checks, include Peter Pan on the Paddy Power website, Jack and the Beanstalk on the 888 website, with a minimum bet of 20p and maximum bet of £200, and Moon Princess on the Casinoland website with a minimum stake of 20p and a maximum stake of £100. It's very sinister, isn't it? Using the cartoon and storybook characters beloved by children to get children onto websites to play free games on gambling websites. Well, it goes beyond sinister. The Sunday Times story continues. The Gambling Commission said this weekend it was concerned about children being lured into online betting and it was reviewing the rules on gambling products that may appeal to children. The industry denies deliberately targeting children, and the industry's nose grew 17 inches. But material from a Sunday Times dossier with examples of more than 30 games has been passed by the Commission to the Advertising Standards Authority for investigation. The Sunday Times quotes Alan Sugar, insufferable arsehole, 99 times out of 100. But to be fair to Sugar, the story says Lord Sugar, who has called for greater restrictions on gambling advertising, said the regulator needed to take more effective action. Sugar said, this is absolutely wrong and the regulator needs to step in. They have been too soft. We are creating a gambling culture, particularly among the young. And the Shadow Culture Secretary, Deputy Leader of the Labour Party, Tom Watson, said this loophole is ruthlessly exploited by irresponsible bookies and it's one that urgently needs closing. Watson continued, the Gambling Commission should act now to extend the current ban on targeting games at children to online products. Betting companies need to acknowledge the harm they are doing by cynically targeting children online and remove these games, many of which can be played for fun and without age verification. They need to remove these games from their sites. You have to laugh at the bookies saying that this is not deliberate, it's just a coincidence. Pathological liars. But I was reading that this morning with great interest because, in the words of my great friend and colleague, connect the dots. It's obvious, isn't it, that this is connected to the data that shows children are being treated by psychotherapists for smartphone addiction. We talked about this at great length in recent shows. They're being treated by psychotherapists for smartphone addiction, for tablet addiction, and for addiction to being on the internet. And in David's last book, Phantom Self, he quoted academics who have conducted research that shows the biological structure of our children's brains is changing. It's changing, and it's deliberately changing. And if you factor in the heavy metals, the heavy metal poisons, let's be honest, in vaccines and from geoengineering, that's also linked to the phone, tablet, laptop dependency. And it's changing the cellular structure of the brains of our children. It really is. I know that you say that to people, it's madness, it's absolutely crazy, but it is. It is. And on the face of it, two people like Lord Sugar, who I don't know Lord Sugar, he's an insufferable arsehole when he's being interviewed about business and stuff like that. He really is, he's an asshole. If I was a journalist, I'd punch him. If I was interviewing him, he'd be so rude. But he's talking about it, but they don't connect the dots. They don't see that it is part of a deliberate plan to get to children effectively. Sunday Observer then. Again, there are two stories on the front page. Headline one, axe old guard to make way for the young stars, Prime Minister told. You can guess what that's about. And the second story on the front page of the Sunday Observer is very interesting. Violent attacks on mental health staff rise as services buckle under staff shortages. So again, the first story is the same old Tory story. Tory donors, cabinet ministers, party grandees are urging May to basically clear out her cabinet and to get a new generation of MPs to save her premiership. They have urged a bold but risky shake-up. Again, all soap opera. If May was to clear out the deadwood, again, most of whom don't want to leave the European Union anyway, and if she was to replace them with young men and women from the party, most of those young men and women probably would be in favour of staying in the European Union. You can see where all this is going. Soap opera to mask the attack on Brexit, which I don't believe is ever going to happen, sadly. But the mental health, we'll talk more about Brexit later. The mental health story is a classic case of problem, reaction, solution, as my old pal says. See, if you destroy mental health care through underfunding, if you destroy the morale of the men and women on the front line who deal with vulnerable people. And by the way, you can probably imagine the amount of emails programmes like mine get from lovely people who say, Richie, here's an email. This is what's going on frontline NHS services. But Richie, you can't quote me and I can't come on the programme because I might lose my job. We get an enormous amount of correspondence like that. Don't even read out the email, Richie. It might compromise me. Somebody might know it's me. Honest to God, the amount of emails we get from people working in social care, working with the elderly, working with the disabled, and they say they are being driven to the brink of extinction because of attacks on funding by central government. Destroy the morale of these people dealing with vulnerable men and women, destroy everything and then privatise by stealth. But it's not even by stealth anymore, is it? Didn't we learn last year that contracts to run care homes are being given to companies like Virgin Care? the lovely, fluffy Richard Branson. Oh, isn't he lovely, Richard Branson? Virgin Cola and Virgin Records. He's on the side of the consumer, isn't he? He is in my arse on the side of the consumer. Imagine giving control of the care of the most vulnerable people in society to corporations. Anyway, 11:15. The Mail on Sunday, Major's blast at treachery of Tory rebels. You see, a lot of the papers are going with this today. They have an interview with the former Prime Minister, John Major. That's him of the Carlyle Group. Him that makes hundreds of millions of pounds when bombs are dropped on poor people in third world countries. That bastard, yeah, John Major. He's told Tory MPs, stop bickering with one another, because if you don't stop bickering, the poisonous Marxist Jeremy Corbyn will get into Downing Street. It's according to John Major. Also on the front page of the Mail on Sunday, there's an exclusive interview with the new Lady Lucan. The new Lady Lucan. It's marvellous, this. I'll tell you why in a minute. I do not believe the Earl murdered Nanny, says new Lady Lucan. So Lady Lucan wants to rebrand the name Lucan, rebrand the family name. And she says, does Lady Lucan, the evidence that her late father-in-law, Lord Lucan, that the evidence that he killed the family nanny is actually very weak, that she doesn't care. I want to move on the family name, says Lady Lucan. The evidence against Lord Lucan is weak, and I don't care anymore, to be honest. God damn it, dear boy. So it's her first ever interview. She's a Danish heiress, Anne-Sophie Fogsgaard. She's the 8th Countess of Lucan, has been telling the Mail on Sunday, their You magazine, it's time for everybody to move on. It's a new era. I think everybody had moved on. Don't think anybody gave a shite about the old Lord Lucan disappeared story. She married George Bingham, the only son of Lucky Lucan, the 7th Earl, who was accused of the brutal murder of Nanny Sandra Rivett back in 1974. So here's a question, dear listener. We're going to segue a little bit away from reality just for a minute, for the crack. For the crack, be Jesus. I was thinking out loud this morning. I was having a chat with the future Mrs. Allen before coming on air, and I was thinking, didn't Arnold Schwarzenegger kill the nanny? Arnie did it, didn't he? I used to interview a man called Giovanni Di Stefano, the devil's advocate. Now, I know Giovanni very well. He's in prison at the moment. He's in prison, right? Now, while I was in Spain, Giovanni was still operating as a lawyer with no qualifications, mind. Giovanni Di Stefano, you see, is somewhere between, I wouldn't say somewhere between, he's somewhere between Michael Caine in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can. An amazing character, Giovanni Di Stefano. He acted on behalf of some notorious people over the years, advocated on their behalf, doing administrative legal duties, while never having passed the bar himself. He was involved with football clubs in Scotland. He was involved with filmmaking. My friend Jean Ann is listening. Jean Ann, good morning. Giovanni had a big share in Golan Globus movies, which is Menachem Golan and Joram Globus, is it, or something like that? Help me out. But what an amazing character, Giovanni. A complete con man. No doubt about it. I mean, proven to be a con man. And we knew he was a con man. I knew he was operating as a lawyer without any qualifications. And I used to put this to him on my programmes. I used to say, but you're not a real lawyer, Giovanni. And he would say, oh, well, I did this and I did that and I did the other. An amazing character. Then he went to prison for fraud. He used to come on with me once a month for 2 years. I last heard from him a year ago. I do keep in touch with a friend of his to see how he's getting on in jail. But he publishes a blog from jail, amazingly enough. Anyway, he was great value. God love him. Now, he swindled some people out of money, and he's a bastard for doing that, and I don't tolerate or condone that. You know, well, at least he was found guilty of it. He denies it to this day. But he was great value. He told me years ago that Arnold Schwarzenegger killed the nanny, not Lord Lucan. Do you want me to tell you the story? I know you're only dying to hear the story, right? Some of you have probably heard anyway, this rumour about Schwarzenegger. But I'll tell you the story because the rumour came from Giovanni. Right, so Lord Lucan, who was he then? He was a Labour peer, a hereditary peer, and he was also a degenerate gambler, right? A degenerate gambler. He had massive, massive debts, and he owed those massive debts to some pretty nasty people. People you wouldn't have anything to do with. People you wouldn't want to owe money to, let's put it that way. So his wife, Veronica, Lady Lucan, booted him out on his arse. And there was a custody dispute because he had three children, right? Now, Lucan was so screwed by the debts he owed to these loan sharks and gamblers, bookies, that he wanted to sell the family house to cover the gambling debts. That's what he wanted to do. Now, famously, as the story goes, Lady Lucan Veronica, she turned up to a pub one night absolutely covered in blood from head to toe. And she told everybody in the pub, Lucan had murdered the nanny, and her name was Sandra Rivett, but not only that, that he'd attempted to kill her at the same time. Lucan couldn't be found anywhere. They searched high and low for Lucan. He was gone, and to this day he's never showed up, right? So Giovanni Di Stefano, in prison, my old radio guest for years and an old pal of mine, he told me years ago that Arnie killed the nanny, right? Sandra Rivett. I don't think it's funny, by the way, that the nanny might have family. Maybe not listening to this program. I don't find anything funny about it. But the idea that Arnie did it is amusing. So, of course, naturally enough, you know what I'm like, dear listener. I like a good argument. So I said, Giovanni, that's monumental bollocks. Explain. And he said, Richie, Arnie was living in London. And he had been in London for a few years at that time. And he was bodybuilding. Bodybuilding. And he said, it's also true, Giovanni said, that Arnie worked as a leg breaker for bookies, illegal bookies, and for loan sharks to make an extra few bob, Giovanni said to me. Now, the future Mrs. Allen had a bar in Spain for a number of years, and a couple of very old, long-retired villains used to come into the bar occasionally. These guys were good as gold. They wouldn't bother anybody, but you knew who they were, right? I'm not going to name them. And they confirmed this, that Schwarzenegger earned a few extra quid working as a leg breaker for loan sharks, right? He was a low-rent thug for a while. The Terminator. Can you imagine it? I don't, you know, again, it's hard not to laugh. And then people are listening going, you're a heartless bastard, Richie. It's hard not to laugh. But can you imagine him turning up, knocking on the door? Are you Richie Allen? So Giovanni says that a police source told him, that Lord Lucan met Arnie because they were moving in the same circles. And Arnie had tried to collect money from Lucan. Right? You can see where all this is going, right? Lucan found out that Arnie wanted to get to America badly, but he couldn't get a green card. But Lucan had political connections. So Lucan said to Arnie, old son, Arnold, dear boy, I can get you the green card that you need. How can you do that? Well, I've got political connections, dear boy. All you've got to do for me is do me a favour. What would you like me to do? Well, kill Mrs. Lucan. And if you kill Mrs. Lucan, I can sell the house and pay off my gambling debts. Now, Arnie's not too bright, so Arnie turned up to the house and thought the nanny was Lady Lucan, effectively. Again, it's like a scene out of The Terminator. Are you Sarah Connor? Are you Lady Lucan? No, I don't believe you. So he bashed the bejesus out of the nanny, killed the nanny, and Lucan was on the scene and realised that obviously it had gone kind of tits up, excuse my language, and Lucan tried to finish the job by killing his wife. He wasn't very strong. The wife survived and escaped to tell the story in the pub. The wife went into the pub and said, oh, you know, this is what's happened. He's killed the nanny and he tried to kill me. But it was Arnie who killed the nanny, apparently. Well, according to Giovanni Di Stefano, anyway. Right? Some story this. So then, Luke and Arnie made their escape in a car. They drove away. Presumably, they were going to get on an airplane or they were going to get on a boat somewhere. But Arnie, not being as stupid as I suggested he was, realised the only person that could link him to the murder of the nanny was Lord Lucan. So Arnie murdered Lord Lucan, buried the corpse, and the rest, as they say, is one of the great mysteries of UK crime. Where the hell is Lord Lucan? So that's the story. Do you believe it? It's a great story, isn't it? And Giovanni used to tell me this story about Lord Lucan and Arnie. Anybody buying the story? Let's do a quick Twitter poll. Let's do a quick Twitter poll. Tweet me if you believe the story or not. And if you do believe the story, I'm banning you from Twitter. That was Giovanni Di Stefano. Yeah, he said Arnie was in London. He was working out. He was working on his body. And he was working as a debt collector at the time. Bumped into Lucan. Lucan said, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. And Arnie killed the wrong woman. Lucan tried to kill his wife. And there you go. If you put those search terms in, you'll find, because when Giovanni was telling me this years ago, obviously I was working on commercial radio then, so some newspapers picked it up that Giovanni had been claiming this. So it's out there. It's out there on online. What do you think? Did Arnie kill Lord Lucan after killing the nanny? I think he probably didn't. But there you go. 26 and a half minutes past the hour. Shall we move on then? We'll take a break, will we? We'll take a break. While you're picking yourself up from the floor after learning that Arnold Schwarzenegger, kindergarten cop and the Terminator, was a contract killer in London in the 1970s. We'll take a break while you digest that bombshell. This is Sunday View, your Sunday View, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio, and of course, richieallen.co.uk. We love a good conspiracy theory, don't we?
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalise, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer, designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Complete your 100% online course at creativeimaginings.com.au.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structure and application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Welcome back. Well, you see the funny side of that anyway. Johnny B tweets, Lucan is still alive and the last thing he said to me, the last thing he said to Arnie was, I'll be back. Gail believes it. Yvonne doesn't believe it. Michael Ebden says, I don't believe Arnie killed Lord Lucan as he is alive and well and playing up front for Crystal Palace. Feathers R Us tweets, we love the story, but we don't think it's true. Brian tweets, nothing would surprise me, Richie. Dick Gregory tweets, a too good to be true story. Karen tweets, it sounds like a plot from a very bad movie. And Susan tweets, wow, it's never going to go away for the Lucans. And now Arnie, apparently. Shona says, yes, I believe the story, Richie. It's a gas story, isn't it? It's one of those, isn't it? It's a good, and my great friend and colleague Jean Ann says, Lucan galloped away on Shergar. Yeah, absolutely right. 100% right, that. Yeah, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Giovanni is some character. He's worth looking up, though. Sadly, none of the interviews I did with him were podcasted or put on YouTube. They used to be kept online for 3 months at the time by Talk Radio Europe, and then they would be deleted automatically by the system. So none of them are there, but there were some hilarious conversations about conspiracy theories. Giovanni was a character. The people whom he defrauded don't share my opinion of him, and I totally understand that. But anyway, let's move on to more serious matters. This is your Sunday View live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and TuneIn Radio. The Sunday Express, again with the Brexit and Theresa May story, its headline says, Brexit's big three back the PM. The big three are Boris Johnson, Philip Hammond and David Davis, the Foreign Secretary, the Chancellor and the Brexit Secretary, respectively, are all behind Theresa May, says the Sunday Express. The Sunday Telegraph leads with the story, Tories at war as May plans for no EU deal. According to the Sunday Telegraph, May has decided to commit billions of pounds on preparing Britain to leave the EU with no deal in a bid to save her job. The Sunday Telegraph says the Tories are at war and rebel members of Parliament, rebel Tory MPs, have demanded progress by Christmas. It is 11:32 a.m. Sunday, October 17th. It isn't. October the 8th, even, 2017. Right, here's the story from within the Sunday Mail. I think you'll find it interesting. We've been covering this, of course, all, for pretty much the last few days. The headline, Ted Heath, police chief, calls for a new inquiry into a Westminster child sex ring covered up by the establishment. We like Mike Veal because he's not going away and he's not taking any crap from the newspapers and from people who knew Edward Heath. Now Mike Veal wants an inquiry into a Westminster child sex ring covered up by the establishment. He's back at his desk now after releasing the Operation Conifer inquiry report. And here's the story in the Sunday Mail. Mike Veal has spent 2 years being assailed by the establishment over his investigation into paedophile allegations against Edward Heath. The Wiltshire Chief Constable has had to bite his lip as ex-cabinet ministers, Tory MPs, peers, members of the judiciary and media moguls lambasted his Operation Conifer report. He was accused of being stupid, leading a witch hunt, and he was told he would be forced to resign the moment the report saw the light of day. But the report did see the light of day on Thursday. Check out my interview with David Icke from Thursday. It's on YouTube. And the Sunday Mail says 24 hours later, he was back at his desk at Wiltshire Police HQ. And in his first major interview since the release of the report, Mr. Veal has called for a new inquiry to, quote, lance the boil of sinister claims that a Westminster child sex ring was covered up by the establishment. He said to the Sunday Mail, listen, I could have spent 2 or 3 more years investigating Edward Heath if my officers had been allowed to dig deeper. Listen to that sentence. Allowed to dig deeper. Who stopped them? You're supposed to be the police. Wow. He attacked, did Mike Veal today in the Sunday Mail, sickening suggestions that the sexual abuse of rent boys and those ravaged by drugs or alcohol was less serious than cases involving wealthy people from Middle England. He says a relentless campaign by the establishment to undermine him over the Heath inquiry caused him the most stress and soul-searching I've had in 30 years, he said. There were some dark days. It can be quite sinister, said Veal. I was told early on, he continues, you'll lose your job, the establishment will get you. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I don't believe in Martians. I used to think, what are these people on about? Hallelujah, hallelujah! System man, Mike Veal, is no longer a system man. I used to think these people are fucking nuts, is basically the subtext of what he's saying. But they're not. The Sunday Mail journalist said, had the Heath inquiry changed your mind? Veal replied in a flash, yes, yes. Is he really suggesting allegations of a wider Westminster paedophile ring dismissed as fantasy after a separate inquiry into ex-Home Secretary Leon Britton and others collapsed could be true? He gave a careful answer. Mike Veal said, if any, if even one bit of my report is true, what did the government know, the civil service, the security services? Those questions need to be answered. Of course they do. You can't just leave it at Operation Conifer. We've got to find out who knew. The Sunday Mail journalist, a good journalist, doing his job, asks him, surely though, Constable, it's all only hearsay. Fair enough. The story goes he won't have it and points to the recent decision by the Independent Inquiry into Child Sex Abuse to extend its scope to include claims of an establishment cover-up significantly after they learned of the Conifer findings. Veal said, it needs someone to look into the potential for cover-up or a conspiracy. In the last 2 years, I've spoken to people who genuinely believe there are too many people making too many assertions around the establishment. Compelling, intelligent people who have moved me, he said. If there is nothing to hide, said Mike Veal, open the doors. Open the doors. Now tomorrow, the UK mid-morning talk shows are going to be full of stories about how this is all a load of bollocks. I want you to listen to Lord Tebbit, Norman Tebbit, speaking on BBC television back in 2014. And yes, you've guessed it, before that, former chief whip to Edward Heath, Tim Fortescue.
Anyone with any sense who was in trouble would come to the whips and tell them the truth and say, now, I'm in a jam, can you help? It might be debt, it might be scandal involving small boys, or any kind of scandal which a member seemed likely to be mixed up in, they'd come and ask if we could help. And if we could, we did.
And if we could, we did. They used to abuse small boys. They used to bugger small boys and come and tell us that the police were on their trail and we would make it go away. Remind every fucker tomorrow who says it's all a hoax. And then play them this from Norman Tebbit.
At that time, I think most people would have thought that the establishment, the system, was to be protected. And if a few things had gone wrong here and there, that it was more important to protect the system than to delve too far into them. Now, that view, I think, was wrong then, and it is spectacularly shown to have been wrong because the abuses have grown.
Do you think there was a big political cover-up at the time back 30 years ago?
I think there may well have been, but it was almost unconscious. It was the thing that people did at that time.
You didn't talk about these kinds of
things. You didn't talk about those sort of things. It's not the sort of thing that people did. Not even, if I may say so, television journalists.
Amazing, right? That was in June 2014 on the Andrew Marr Show. Out of the mouths of babes. And of course, Tebbit is a former Secretary of State for Employment and the former Secretary for Trade and Industry in Thatcher's government. He was nearly killed in Brighton, you might remember, in 1984 when the IRA blew up the Grand Hotel in Brighton where the Tories were having their annual conference. Tebbit spelling it out for you. Keep those clips in mind tomorrow And later on next week, when the UK media tells you it's all bollocks and it's all a witch hunt. 20 minutes to 12, Sunday, October 8th, 2017. President Donald Trump, whose own campaign, of course, was beset by scandal last year when a recording was released in which he boasted about groping women, grabbing women by the genitals. Trump says, "I'm not surprised by sexual harassment allegations made against media mogul Harvey Weinstein." This is a report on CNN.
The president is headed to North Carolina right now for a fundraiser to support the RNC, but on his way to Marine One, he had quite a bit to say on a number of different topics.
"I've known Harvey Weinstein for a long time. I'm not at all surprised to see it. John Kelly is one of the best people I've ever worked with. He's doing an incredible job. And he told me for the last 2 months, he loves it more than anything he's ever done. He's a military man, but he loves doing this, which is chief of staff, more than anything he's ever done. He's doing a great job. He will be here, in my opinion, for the entire 7 remaining years. No, he likes Secretary Tillerson, so do I. We have a very good relationship. We disagree in a couple of things. Sometimes I'd like him to be a little bit tougher, but other than that, we have a very good relationship."
The question that you can't hear there is the last question. You'll hear Trump's answer now. The journalist is saying, "Did Harvey Weinstein act inappropriately?" This is Trump's response.
"Well, he says they were inappropriate. That's locker room.
It's locker room. Trump is like Raymond from Rain Man, isn't he? Boxer shorts. It's locker room. Why have I got a big... All right, I have a bit of a sound problem there. Have I a sound problem? I might have a little sound problem on my... Have I? I have. I'll have to deal with that later on. So the Weinstein thing. "I've known Weinstein for a long time. I'm not at all surprised," said Trump. Now, Weinstein is a massive Hollywood mogul. He's made films for New Line Cinema and hugely well known. He's won Oscars as well. He's taking a leave of absence from his company and he's seeking therapy, he said, after it was disclosed that he reached settlements with 8 different women who made allegations of sexual harassment against him. Right? There's no criminal charges against him yet, anyway. He apologised for the pain he had caused, but he said he denies many of the allegations. So he admits some and denies many. Very interesting, isn't it? What I find very interesting about that, of course, is claims made by former child stars, most notably in recent times, the actor Corey Feldman from The Goonies and The Lost Boys and Friday the 13th, 4 and License to Drive and God knows what else. He was a very good friend with Corey Haim, another child star. And many child stars have approached people in independent media over the years to say that they were abused. Either sexually abused or they were, sexually harassed. It's endemic, I reckon, in Hollywood. I reckon it's endemic. I reckon the surface hasn't even been scratched in Hollywood. My mate Jean Ann, of course, who is an actress, has been in massive feature films and huge television series, has made the point that in Hollywood it's only the tip of the iceberg. But it segues away from the paedophiles. She goes on to say, "Any minute now, those of us who hate paedophilia are going to be called paedophobes." And I'm not going to mention any names, because that wouldn't be fair. And she'd kill me anyway. But Jean Ann says that other well-known film directors have given her inclinations that this sort of behaviour by Weinstein is pretty much the modus operandi by Hollywood figures and directors and producers and whatnot. That's what she's telling me. I won't mention any names. Of course it is. Of course it is. Who could possibly be surprised by that? Let's move on, because time is against us. It's exactly 1:45. Here's a story in the Sunday Mail, the Mail on Sunday. The headline is, who researched this? Furious EastEnders fans slam inaccurate storyline as social services take away weeping Stacey Fowler's kids after an anonymous tip-off. I'll read you some of the story. Viewers have slammed an inaccurate EastEnders storyline after social services took away a distraught Stacey Fowler's children after one anonymous tip. A social worker and two police officers stormed a Fowler home and took away Stacey's kids in Friday's episode after Carmel Kazemi claimed Stacey was abusing her baby son Arthur. Fans claimed the far-fetched scene was a scandalous misrepresentation of social services, insisting a child would never be taken away on the basis of one phone call. They were also outraged at how quickly they arrived, accompanied by police, just hours after Carmel's phone call to them. As services took away bruised Arthur and his sister Lily, Stacey broke down in tears on the show and wept, "They're my babies." And on Twitter, apparently there was outrage. One viewer tweeted, "Who researched this storyline? Social services don't just take kids away. Disgusting how you show them. Very misleading and not true." Another tweeted, "Scandalous misrepresentation. Social services so underfunded, could never respond and should never respond that like." A social worker tweeted, "FFS, for fuck's sake, EastEnders just makes mine and plenty of others' jobs harder. Stop painting a bad picture of social services." Amazing to see all these tweets. Social services don't do this. This is disgusting. The police don't do this. And there was no tweets from the many thousands of men and women predominantly, and men who've had their children taken away from them. That's kind of strange, isn't it? I would have thought. It happens to thousands of people a year. Thousands. No tweets from people saying, "Well, it actually is true because it happened to me." Of course, we know it to be true because we've heard these stories on our programme. They do rock up on no evidence, not even flimsy evidence. On zero evidence, they rock up and take children away from families. Usually working poor families. They do. People tweeting, "EastEnders making inaccurate portrayals of social services." Somebody else tweeting, "Social services so far-fetched." Other people tweeting, "There are several stages before the social services take a child." Well, in many cases, there aren't several stages. At least not to the misfortunate people who have their children taken away. For them, there are no stages. Right? Because social services go to a judge with information that the accused isn't privy to. The judge says you can take the child. Next thing, social services rock up at the police and they take the child. We've spoken about it. We've had people on this programme, dozens of mothers, over the last few years. We've had mothers who provided physical proof that their partner had been sexually abusing their daughter, their son or their children, and they had the children taken away. So EastEnders definitely touched the raw nerve there, didn't they? This multi-billion pound a year industry, worth massive amounts of money to people, to the adoption agencies. Wonderful people like Emma Ibbitson and Pete Middleton and others, they've uncovered evidence that some judges have heard cases in the family courts, and those judges themselves had connections to adoption agencies. We were able to prove this. It's incredible, isn't it? So EastEnders has touched a raw nerve there. The establishment fights back. EastEnders taking all sorts of flack on social media, and strangely absent are tweets from those it's happened to. And yet I know those it has happened to frequent Twitter and frequent Facebook. So why are their comments not showing up? You know why. Here's a story I'm going to finish with today. I'm having a bit of a sound trouble. Am I? There's a wire loose. Is there a wire loose? There's a wire loose, isn't there? Yeah, there's a bit of a wire loose. I have to get my engineer in, but I think we'll soldier through the rest of the programme. We've only got a few minutes left anyway. Labour are having talks with the European Union, the unelected Labour Party. Now, we know this. This isn't new. But they're positively bragging about it. And it's in the newspapers today. EU negotiators have stepped up backroom Brexit talks with Labour amid concerns over Theresa May's future. The Prime Minister has faced repeated calls to resign since losing the Conservative majority, of course, in June. And this week there's been a lot of claims that more than 30 MPs want her to stand down. Uncertainty over her premiership has seen the EU increase the amount of talks they have held with Labour since the election. This is according to the Daily Telegraph. Now, you see, I'm not going to lose my temper. I'm not. What more do people need to know about the corrupt, filthy, mafia European Union who refuses to progress talks with the elected government of the United Kingdom while doing deals with the unelected government, deals which will ultimately result in the European Union and the UK not separating? Doing deals with an unelected political party while refusing to progress talks with the government of the day. Now, Emily Thornberry is the Shadow Foreign Secretary. She was asked about this on Sky News today. Here's Thornberry.
That appears to be the view of the European Union. The story that emerged over the past couple of days is that the EU is holding, you know, back-channel conversations with the Labour Party. I mean, what's going on there?
We have always had conversations with the European Union ever since the Brexit vote. We've been completely open about it. Everybody knows. We explain what our position is. Again, unlike the Tories, people do know what our position is. We do publish it. We make it clear. We're united around it. And we're quite prepared to fill in the details when speaking to the European Union. Their biggest question is, what's the government doing? And that's one that we just can't help them with, because we really genuinely don't know, because the government doesn't know.
I mean, part of the narrative that the Labour Party's been putting forward at the moment is that you are a government in waiting. So yes. Can we just be very clear about what your position is on Brexit? We know that there is agreement as to, you know, remaining within the single market, the customs union, during the transitional period. What is your view of the potential for the UK remaining in the single market once that transition period is finished?
That's a good question, but it's unlikely she's going to answer it. What's your view about remaining in the single market? Any chance of a straight answer from Thornberry?
I think that we have to start with, we are leaving. There's quite a lot of, you know, chatter in the newspapers today about the possibility of being able to stop it. No, we are leaving, and the Labour Party proceeds in good faith. We have to leave. We will then, when there is a general election, what we want is the Article 50 to go ahead, for them to do as little damage as possible, and then for the Tories to have an interim period if there's no general election where there's no change to the status quo. And so that for a couple of years, we can then do the negotiations properly, and we hope that during that period, there'll be a general election. Because during that period, there will be a Labour government come in, and we will reset our relationship with the European Union.
What does that mean? Reset our relationship? What does that mean exactly? We're supposed to leave, not to reset the relationship. Leave, you daft bint. Leave. You don't mean leave, though. You mean delay, delay, delay. Interim governments, transition periods, until eventually we can vote again. That's what they mean.
But it remains a point of significance, a question of significance, to ask whether or not you believe, if you were sitting at that negotiating table, talking to Brussels, whether you could envisage a scenario in which membership of the single market continues after we leave the European Union. I mean, Anas Sarwar, the man who could lead Scottish Labour, has come out and said that he will be campaigning for just that. What is the Labour Party position?
The Labour Party position is that we have our six tests. We have to be able, when we leave the European Union, to be able to say that we have delivered on a number of things. And that does include things like changes to our immigration policy. It means being proper internationalists. It means remaining in many of the institutions.
Changes to immigration policy would appear to rule out continued membership of the single market.
Well, these are the things that need to be negotiated. What I'm saying is that we would go into negotiations and we would say to them, these are...
Right. We're not going anywhere. What she's talking about there is a Brexit not worth having, in that you stay in all but name. So you stay in all but name or no Brexit at all. That's what you're going to get. So you have the European Union who won't progress negotiations with the elected government of the day in the UK, whatever you might think about them, right? And nobody despises them all collectively more than I do. But the EU won't talk to the Conservative Party, the elected government, but is talking to the unelected Labour Party and framing the future reality where we never leave the European Union. And last week at the Conservative Party conference in Manchester, Nigel Evans, Conservative Party MP, summed up in a nutshell why we shouldn't be anywhere near the European Union.
That they're seeing a dynamic Britain that is now entering a new chapter. It's a new era. We're leaving the European Union and we will be doing trade deals throughout the rest of the world and hopefully doing a trade deal with the European Union as well. We still want to buy their cars, we still want to buy their champagne, and hopefully they'll still want to buy our products as well. We've got a net deficit with the European Union of about £60 to £70 billion. It's in their interests that David Davis is allowed to negotiate a proper deal that's going to be in the best interests of all of us. And then if you really want to see poverty, go to Greece. Go and have a look at 50% youth unemployment. Go to Spain, where you see 50% youth unemployment there as well. There are a lot of countries within the European Union who are doing very badly because of the system of the European Union and the fact that they're on the euro. It's not helping them. It's helping Germany, but it's certainly not helping them.
It's helping Germany, and it's impoverishing every country in Southern Europe. And the southern part, it's creeping ever northwards. These are the people responsible for the open doors policy, the migration disaster in Germany, in Greece, in Cyprus and everywhere else. We've heard this song so many times before. We're going to leave it for now. Thank you for listening to Sunday View. Really appreciate your company. Thank you so much. I'll be back with you live tomorrow at 7 p.m. UK time, where the musician Anomaly is one of my guests. I'm really looking forward to chatting with him. Big up to Vivian Kubrick for putting me in touch with Anomaly. I'm dropping names today. I'm not a name dropper. I've been doing radio so long, but I do want to give credit to Vivian because she listens to the program, and she put me in touch with Anomaly. He'll be on the program tomorrow and lots more besides. You enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thanks for listening. Big thanks to Simon for putting all of our interviews on YouTube. We will do it all again 7 p.m. for Monday. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Bye now.